Lady listeners, could your daily routine be full of hormone disruptors? It sure can. You know, there are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now, in our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, and they all mess with our hormones. Then there's the natural hormonal changes our bodies go through. Perimenopause, menopause, and while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean we have to suffer through it. The good news is that we don't have to suffer through it anymore because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier, and that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. Hormone Harmony is a phenomenon. Women can't stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds, y'all. Hormone Harmony has been part of my routine in 2024 and will continue to be in 2025 because, simply put, it makes me feel better. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use code CLINK at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code CLINK for 15% off today. You don't need to feel like financial wellness is impossible. Acorns gives you small, simple steps to get you and your money on track. What I love about Acorns is knowing I am doing something proactive for my future. And it's not a time suck because basically Acorns does the hard part for you so you can give your money a chance to grow. So head to acorns.com/clink or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid client testimonial. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, and SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/clink.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Hi, and welcome to Housewives of True Crime.
Welcome.
Welcome. I am Tabitha. Give me Dateline, white wine, and I'll pick up your kids in the carpool line.
The next day, right?
Yeah, the next day.
Okay. And I am Gretchen. I like white wine, true crime, and in bed by 9 because I have a lot of stuff to do in the morning.
We are Housewives of True Crime.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. Welcome.
Welcome.
Housewives of True Crime.
How are you?
Oh, I'm fabulous. If you guys are just tuning in and you have not done the follow button yet on either YouTube or Spotify or Apple or wherever you listen to us, now is the time. Take 1 second and just do it so you can get through this case and many, many, many more that we have. There's my disclaimer for the day.
Okay.
Cool. Also, we talk crime. So,
yeah, 7 minutes of personal and as long as it takes for us to get through a crime. What I want to get to is I just heard you mention your dogs. Tab moved to a new house and did not bring her dogs with her originally. Her mother-in-law is amazing with dogs and she had kind of an attachment to them. So I want to hear, how did this happen?
Well, my mother-in-law took the dogs at first because we had lots of construction going on in the house. And so it was just like, they're little
people in and out. Yeah. They're running around barking. Yeah. It's not working. Yeah.
So she kept them. She was great. She is a dog whisperer. So it was perfect. She actually whipped these dogs into shape. I mean,
I believe it.
And then we all went out of town to see you, remember, even my mother-in-law. So I had to get a babysitter for the dogs. And then when the dogs came back, they just came back to my house instead of my mother-in-law's house. And that's how we got them back.
Okay. I just wondering how you like broke the seal because, you know, it's, it feels like food in a new car with kids. It's like, you know, it's going to happen, but it's so hard to let them eat initially in a new house. It's like, it's so pretty.
I know. So,
and Tubbs dogs are very PE.
Yeah, they do. So we are really strict with them. They do not leave our sight in the daytime. And if they do, they're like called back. And then if we leave, we leave them in the laundry room and that's it. That is like their little pin is in there. And so they don't have as much freedom in this house, but they seem happy. They're fine. They're dogs. My mother-in-law spoiled them so much that she freaking like boiled their water to pour over their food. She's like, they love it so much. They like, they can smell the gravy. I'm like, no. No, I'm not doing that.
Oh, yeah. No, come on.
Come on. No. But anyways, I just got back from the gym. I'm still like, if you're watching on YouTube, I am still a sweaty mess because I'm really working, Gretchen. I'm like on, I'm on fire.
Yeah, I wish I was. I'm not on fire.
I know. I'm sorry. Gretchen had the stomach flu yesterday or something.
I'm like a wreck, dude. And I am canceling on going to like a fun thing tonight, and I was going to host people on Saturday, and I canceled that because I'm like,
you're a buzzkill.
I am, but I just, I, you know, the stomach is like, it's the worst. Yeah. And you know, people are writing me, they're writing me like, weren't you sick last week? I'm like, yeah, I fucking was. Last week I had like, a
head cold. You had the, that was called COVID. My girlfriend, I think we talked about this on Patreon. My girlfriend, I think everybody has got COVID right now, just saying, but she showed up to a dinner and she's like, oh, I got this little cold. I don't really feel good. I was like, girl, Sean's like, you got COVID. Well, it turns out she took a test. She did have COVID. So if you have little sniffles, guys,
well, I didn't take a test because, you know, I'm not like,
you don't want to know.
Yeah, I don't want to know. And I'm not, I wasn't, you know, I didn't have any plan. It was, if it was COVID, it was a good strain. It was like 3 days.
Yeah, I think that's how it is now. What else besides you throwing up?
Besides me throwing up, nothing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I thankfully have my dog. She's the only person that cares about me. If my kids didn't have those damn watches, no one would bring me water or saltines.
Oh my gosh.
And my dog is especially in love with me because we abandoned her to do the Yellowstone National Park. And so
She doesn't like that. She doesn't like that. Oh no, she goes away.
Not like that. And it's kind of funny. This time when I picked her up from the dog place where we take her, they were kind of like, how do you stay away from her for so long?
She is so cute.
I'm like, I know she needs to be around people. They're like, yeah, we have to hold her all the time. I'm like, yeah, I know. Confession, I got home 2 days ago. But she was scheduled to have a bath, you know, so I just left her there. Plus, it's all the unpacking. Everybody was feeling funky. It was like hard to get down there to pick her up. Anyways, but then I see her sweet face and then I feel guilty.
Yeah, don't worry. She's a dog. Also, I have a carpool situation now.
You do. You're sharing.
Yes. It's going to change my life.
It is?
Yeah. I'm going to add.
You better not keep those bitches waiting like you do me all the time. Oh, they're going to get on you. I don't know who, you know, you are so lucky to have me because all the time Tab says, be here at this time. And it's 10. Listen, then she says 2 minutes always, and then it's 10 minutes later.
I'm always late. So I am notoriously late.
Yeah.
And I just say, if you're my friend, you know that I'm going to be late. Like, just know.
Yeah, I never get it twisted.
You can't get offended.
No.
And I'm really sorry. I don't mean to like put you out.
I know, but I feel like it's fine. When it matters to me, I tell you like.
Yeah, yeah, you do.
I'm like, okay, you got to really try this time.
Yeah.
But otherwise you're right. You got to just let it go. But I feel like with getting the kids to school, that's an like everyday on time situation.
I know, especially with like other people. Well,
the
thing about it, they were like, okay, let's meet at this time. And I was like, let's meet 5 minutes earlier so that when I'm late, it's basically I'm like meeting at that time that you said. I did forewarn them about that.
Prepare yourself. Okay, I'm proud of you.
I mean, I didn't tell them that I'm notoriously late, but also said, because one of the moms is very early. She's early to, she's the first in line to pick up. Okay, so.
I
roll around and I am the last to pick up because I don't want to sit in the carpool lane. So like
the carpool lane is balls.
No. So you're sitting there for like 45 minutes. So what I do is I get there when they're almost closing the school and they're like almost ready to call you to figure out like, where is your parent? And then I show up and it's, you know, no one's sitting for too long except for my kid. Yeah. but you know, he's having fun talking to whoever.
He's having fun. He needs something to tell his therapist in the future.
Right? My mom's
last. I always up every day from I know. School.
Oh my God. I always thought my mom wasn't coming, and then she whips around the corner and there she is.
But I always came. Me.
Oh, but yes, back to school. So all those things, which is amazing and not amazing all at the same time. So anyways, I do have a story to tell you today. And it's one that I have thought about for many years, which is totally crazy because that doesn't happen very often. Usually it's in and out and done. Oh, I want to say something else really quick. I know this is coming in a couple of days after she was found, but I don't know if you noticed because you were throwing up all day yesterday, but there was a missing person that I posted about, and she was a friend of mine's friend's daughter. Okay. And her name was Jessica Rapsies, and she was going from Jacksonville, Florida to her aunt's house, and her car was found on a railroad track, her shoes, her phone still in the car, and her keys are in the ignition. My friend sent me videos of her like from a couple days before, nothing out of the ordinary, nothing, right? So I feared the worst because that scenario does not sound good at all.
Right.
But she was found, dude. My friend just texted me and said they don't have any information, but she is alive and on her way to the hospital, which is like,
that's great news.
Great news.
I mean, okay, let's keep it on and up. News.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I have, you know, the story is.
Oh, good. Because I'm real sick of your fucking disclaimers. Like, okay, if anybody's triggered by animals or domestic or whatever.
I know, but I have to say it.
No, you don't. I never do.
You actually do.
I actually don't. Okay.
Somebody's got to. Okay. Somebody's got to look out for us.
Okay.
Okay, before we get into this story, I have to tell you that we recorded the episode before I spoke on the phone with the victim. And there are some things that I would say maybe aren't exactly the way that it happened. Most of it is. But at the end, you'll hear that we are going to talk to Barbara herself. And I think it's going to explain a lot of things. The episode itself is really, truly amazing. Barbara's an amazing woman. I don't want to get too much into it before you listen. But you all, like, this is something that after I got off the phone with Barbara, I was like, I need to kind of just pop on here because I wish I would have talked to her before actually doing the episode, but I didn't have a chance to. And I cannot wait for all of you to hear from her herself. She is just an incredible, incredible human. And this story, it's something that I think that every woman needs to hear. So I hope you guys enjoy the episode and look forward to our next drop that will come soon from Barbara herself. Clink, clink. All right. So let's go to just outside of San Francisco, 25 miles east to a community called Walnut Creek, California. I'm sure you've heard of it.
I have.
Because that's, you know, where all the tech gurus now live. Mm-hmm. There's less than 70,000 residents in Walnut Creek. And basically the who's who of notable people that live up in that area are living in the Walnut Creek area, like Steph Curry. You know him. From the Golden State Warriors. Mm-hmm. Lars Ulrich. You know who that is?
Nope.
He's the drummer from Metallica.
Aren't those Metallica? I can never remember. Is it the Metallica guys that are assholes or Led Zeppelin? Well, one of them, one or the other is like notoriously know. Like they're really bad. Like rapey,
oh, no way,
terrible,
really?
Abusive. Yeah, see, disclaimer. Don't listen to Led Zeppelin or Metallica. Not sure which one.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny because everybody loves Metallica. Led Zeppelin, I don't even know if those guys are around anymore. I have a feeling they're not.
I don't know. I just wear the t-shirts because I'm cool like that.
The funny thing is I've been listening to Led Zeppelin in the sauna. So that's – and I just love Led Zeppelin.
Okay, well, let's hope it's Metallica. Okay. No.
Sorry. Also, Christy Turlington also was born and raised there.
Oh, it's okay.
Not cheap to live there. It's actually one of the most expensive cities in the United States. So, and by the way, the homes are like tiny. So I suggest going somewhere else. San Francisco's balls these days anyways.
It's so overcast all the time too. Ugh.
It's cold. It's like actually in the summer can be the coldest spot in America. Okay.
Yeah.
There's nothing glamorous about it to me.
No.
All right. Anyhow, let's move on. I'm taking you way back before the .com brought all the fancy people there to the summer of 1981. Barbara Bentley was 35. She owned her own home. She was a divorcee working on her college degree, and she had a career. Sounds like one disco biscuit to me. One day while at work, one of Barbara's friends called her and asked her to go to a dinner party to round out the group of three. Barbara's friends told her there was a man coming to dinner, a retired Navy admiral. Barbara decided to go. The man's name was John R. Perry Jr. He was 54 years old, 19 years older than Barbara. But he had caught Barbara's interest because he had lots of stories.
Sure.
And he had a real nice, impressive pedigree. John said that his great-grandfather on his mother's side was the same Admiral Perry who went to the North Pole. John's father, Admiral John R. Perry, a very famous officer who established the Seabees during World War II. You know, we have a Seabee base in Oxnard.
How old is this chick he's at dinner with?
She's 35 and he's 54.
Oh, okay. Yeah, at 35, maybe I knew shit, but I'm thinking if I was 25, I would not have given two shits over,
over all the
Seabees,
fancy
North
stuff.
Pole. Yeah.
No, but 35.
Yeah, you start to get smart.
And she's divorced. So she's like, wow, this guy seems...
That's
fancy.
Fascinating. Okay.
John entertained everyone with his stories about the time he served in the Navy. He told them that he also flew with the Blue Angels. He performed missions with the Navy SEALs, and he commanded swift boats in Vietnam, where he was awarded Congressional Medal of Honor. When the night was over, John walked Barbara to her car. Within a few weeks, they started dating, and within a few months, John moved in with Barbara. Retired Admiral John Perry traveled a lot for his job, which was a consultant acquiring contracts for the government. For his clients. And Barbara started to travel with him. They went to places like the Caribbean, Mexico City, always flying first class. And John actually introduced Barbara to all the finer things in life, like gourmet food, fine wine, and art. Barbara started to realize that John didn't have lavish spending habits when they just traveled. He spent like that at home too. He preferred luxury in all aspects of life, indulging in things like expensive crystal and rare whiskeys.
Okay, but you said he moved in with her.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's giving me red flags right off the bat. I would think somebody with all this pedigree and shit would need a lot of, he'd have a wall he was real attached to in some house with all his plaques and shit.
I know.
That he wouldn't want to, you know, like a person like that is not a minimalist. They've got their own space.
This is right. And this is when Barbara started to see how high the bills were piling up. John's spending habits were being paid for on credit cards, and his paychecks were not enough to make those payments. First red flag.
Yeah.
John also told her that he had four children and two ex-wives, but that he was estranged from his children because of his military service, and he was, you know, gone too long during their upbringing. John also told Barbara that he was set to inherit a large sum of money from his grandmother. And Barbara was like, John, money doesn't interest me. Honesty does. So I feel like even before
Good for
John
you, Barbara.
And Barbara got married, Barbara had some red flags.
Also, what is the phrase? Don't hatch your chickens before your eggs. Like, you don't have that inheritance yet, buddy.
I know, right?
I'm sure that's not the phrase, but it's something like that. Y'all know what I mean.
I know what you mean. Don't count your chickens yeah, before they've hatched.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
When Barbara tried to bring up the subject of their debt with John, he would just be an asshole and threaten to leave her. And that left Barbara in a panic. If John left Barbara, she would be responsible for all that debt on her own. And after being divorced once, she did not want to look like she failed again in love. So she didn't leave him. And she kind of, I think, and I'm just speculating here, but I can imagine she just kind of shoved it under the rug, as they say.
Okay.
Barbara talked to John about their finances and their issues, trying to smooth things over with him. And John said, you know what, Barbara, I have a great idea. I know we're in a little bit of debt and you still have that house that you own with your ex-husband that has a pool, needs some updating. Why don't we buy your husband or your ex-husband out of that house, fix it up and sell it? The ex was actually still living there, but the plan worked. Barbara knew that the mortgage was going to be hard to cover, but if they kept the belts tight, they would make it do. And they did. Not long after they moved in, John asked Barbara to marry him, and she said yes. Barbara was excited. I mean, she was like over the moon with this fairy tale wedding that she was going to have to this retired admiral. They could have a church on a base with, you know, the swords arched over, you know, that whole
that's
hoopla.
Totally cute. Yeah,
he would be in like the getup. Mm-hmm. I mean, that to me is really hot.
Totally.
But John had other ideas. He wanted to get married in Mexico. So, and he wanted to get married right away.
I mean, that's hot too. I did have a fantasy about like riding into the sunset with like beer cans tied to the back of a donkey or something.
Well, listen, Barbara then started to daydream about that kind of wedding, you know, in a little Mexican chapel, candles.
Yeah.
You know, the whole like, you know how it is. Like you can go to Cancun to get married on the beach, whatever. Well, she didn't get that either. Mm. On the day of their wedding day, they drove through Tijuana. Oh. Which is, you know, it was probably a little better than it is now, but that is not.
I think it's a little
part.
Better now than it is then, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like the world's most dangerous place to be.
Yeah, but there's not. They've built up.
Oh, they do have some clubs.
Yeah,
we've been there. Oh. Barbara noticed that they were leaving the nicer part of Tijuana.
Oh,
and
shit.
Headed to the more impoverished part, and
that's where we went to the clubs. Remember, we did the Macarena.
Oh. Yes, I do remember sliding down the slide. I thought it was so cool. They had a club that had two stories and there was a slide from the top to the bottom.
Oh, yeah. Real cool. We were not hard to impress.
Thank God the slide stayed put together. Yeah. John pulled up to this rundown building where they went inside to be married by the Justice of Peace. I mean, why didn't he just go to like the one down the road?
Yeah.
I know. While it was a disappointment compared to what Barbara had imagined her wedding to be, she made the best of it, especially when they went to a nicer restaurant after the ceremony and they played her Here Comes the Bride. And then after this not so romantic wedding, they did go to Hawaii for their honeymoon, which I say is a win in all situations.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
While they were there, they went to an art gallery that had some paintings by this guy, Red Skeleton, which I'm not... Red Skelton. I'm not familiar with him, but it was Barbara's favorite television star from her childhood. And despite the fact that they still did not have like all this money coming in, they paid $75,000 for a piece of artwork. Well, 5 years into their marriage, they had a good partnership at home, but Barbara still did not meet anybody from John's family, which I think is now, I don't know how many red flags we're at, but we're racking them up. She never even met his kids. John had told her that his son was an astronaut and his daughter was a musician. And John supposedly had a sister. And, you know, what about that grandmother with the money? Is she still around? Right? What's she still?
You don't send her flowers on Grandmother's Day or anything? I think you'd want to keep her in good graces.
I think I would be calling her all the time.
Yeah, right.
Whenever she pressed John about meeting somebody from his family, he would come up with some excuse like, oh, that person just called. And oh my gosh, she missed talking to you also. Barbara even wrote letters to his family members, but they were returned with no such person at this address. John would just look at him and say, oh, they just say that because they think you're a gold digger. In 1986, John got a package in the mail that said it was from his son. The box contained all of his military awards inside. He took each one of them, showed Barbara, explained the details behind what he did to get each one of those medals. So Barbara was like so impressed, right? She was like, let me take those, like you said, right?
Totally hot. Said. Yeah.
So she got them all framed and hung them on the wall. These two even got to attend the inaugural ball for President George H.W. Bush.
Okay.
John wore the Medal of Honor around his neck. Barbara said people just stepped aside when they walked by and the president himself saluted John. I mean, I think that's why she married him.
Impressive.
Yeah, very totally. Impressive. Yeah. But the following year, the two FBI agents knocked on their front door. She told them that John wasn't home and they said, well, we have something for him. And she just said, no, you got to give it to John. He told me never to accept anything that came from other people. So they left and she went back inside to wait for John to come home. While she sat inside in the living room, she noticed that all of the medals were missing from and the frame. So when he got home, she was like, hey, John, what happened to your medals? She was like super worried. He was like, oh, that frame that you had framed was falling apart. So I just took it to the frame shop. And she's like, with the medals inside, like, that's kind of risky.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, it's just safer that way. And then when Barbara asked him about why the FBI came to their house, he told her that he had been called to testify at a grand jury and they must have stopped by to give him some more information about the case. Not long after that happened, John just kind of stopped going to work. Instead of going to a paying job, he started playing sweepstakes. Do you remember this? People would do that. They would like,
oh no, but I, it's a thing.
The mail.
It is a thing.
Yeah.
Sweepstakes. Yes. I know some bitches around here who
still do it.
They do. They are really into sweepstakes. Yeah.
Embrace new beginnings. What a better way to start off 2025 than to learn a new language. I got Rosetta Stone over a year ago and have really enjoyed learning a couple different languages. Y'all know that when I went to Japan, I was learning Japanese. And now that my daughter is taking French in school, I am learning French through Rosetta Stone. It's amazing. It's been around for 30 years, so it is really the most trusted online tool to learn a new language. They have 25 different languages to choose from: Spanish, French, Italian, German, Japanese, Dutch. I mean, if you name it, they probably have it. I think that it's amazing, and you should think about doing this for your New Year's resolution too. It's convenient and flexible, and the value is unheard of. You get a lifetime membership for all 25 of those languages. Start your New Year's off with a resolution that you can reach. Today, Housewives of True Crime listeners are going to be able to take advantage of this New Year's special from Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your New Year's offer at rosettastone.com/today.
Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing for you, your kids, and your retirement, even during the holidays. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that matches you. And you don't need a ton of time. You can create your Acorns account and start automatically investing your money in just 5 minutes. Acorns helps you build your financial future in the background so you can focus on all your holiday shopping and parties. So genius. Another great thing about Acorns is you don't need to be rich. Acorns lets you get started with the spare money you've got right now. That could be $5 a day or even just your spare change. That's right. Acorns can round every purchase you make up to the dollar automatically and invest your spare change for you. So that coffee you grab on the way to the mall, that's investing. And you get bonus investments just for buying the stuff you need from the brands you love. With Acorns, every single gift you buy this year could put more money in your investment account. It's like cash back, but the bonus investments have a chance to grow. So head to acorns.com/clink or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid client testimonial. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns investing, involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, and SEC-registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/clink. Listeners, every year around this time, I resolute I'm going to get grown-up stuff done, like get that colonoscopy over with that my doctor's been bugging me about. Get my affairs in order, like making a will. And why is it that a will seems to be more daunting than the colonoscopy? Well, it doesn't have to, because trust and will makes creating your will easy, like lounging on the couch easy. The website is really simple to use and the process is straightforward. Each will or trust is state-specific, legally valid, and customized to your needs. So for my family, my main concerns are guardians for my children. Whether your main concerns are your care wishes, your final arrangements, or power of attorney, trust and will has you covered. When maneuvering through the process, if you have any questions that stop you in your tracks, there is actually live support available through phone, chat, or email. Trust and Will has earned thousands of 5-star reviews from Trustpilot. So check one of your goals off early this year with Trust and Will. Protect what matters most in minutes at trustandwill.com/HTC and get 10% off plus free shipping. That's 10% off and free shipping at trustandwill.com/HTC.
Okay, so he was really interested in sweepstakes and Barbara was really frustrated. Like, dude, we're not making money. You know, because you order all this stuff and then if the, I don't know, I think it's like maybe you get money if you win, but the chances of you winning some sort of sweepstakes is not high. In June of 1990, John told Barbara that he finally was going to get his money from this trust fund, but they had to go to Florida to get the check. And after they arrived in Florida, Barbara drove them to the bank to pick up the check. As they were driving, John suddenly clutches his chest, doubles over, and cries out, "My heart, my heart." Barbara immediately changed their route, took him to the hospital, and John suffered a heart attack. So Barbara immediately calls the bank to cancel their appointment. And the bank says, "I'm sorry, ma'am, but I've never heard of John and there is no appointment." After going to the hotel without John, because now he's in the hospital, she goes to look for their paperwork, and Barbara didn't find anything that had any trust fund information in it. But she did find a gun wrapped in foil in John's briefcase. When she went back to the hospital to check on John.
Wait, how did he get that on the plane?
Good freaking question. Do you think that's maybe it was a checked in tin foil?
Well, oh, but you can check a gun. Maybe it was a checked bag.
Maybe it was. And by the way, you got to think about this. This is like in the 80s.
Yeah.
So
TSA wasn't on point back then.
Yeah. The thought of, I'm thinking that's why he wrapped it in tin foil, by the way.
Yeah. That's probably all you had to do.
Yeah. So she goes back to the hotel and it's like, what the heck? What do you have a gun for, dude? And he told her he felt like he needed it for protection because of this large sum of money they were getting from the bank. And Barbara thought, okay, but we're not carrying around piles of cash. It's a check we're picking up.
Yeah.
And probably a cashier's check that would be made out to John. So it wouldn't be any use for anybody else. She also then told him that the bank didn't have any records of any appointment for them. And John came up with some sort of excuse for that. So Barbara didn't press any further because she was really kind of worried about John's heart. After John was discharged from the hospital, I think like after a week, they just went home to Florida. Which, man, if I was Barbara, I'd be like, what the fuck, dude? What's going on?
Listen,
here?
Don't if I was Barbara, you, because
I feel like she's probably thinking this in the back of her head, but also trying to figure out how to like.
In hindsight, it's easy. You know, we've had enough talk about how these con artists like get you.
Dude, I've been calling you so many times.
We both have. So when you're in it, you cannot see it and you don't want to.
I know.
That's where she was at. Blinders.
So not long after they got back, John told Barbara that he finally found work at the university and he was going to be working on his PhD in psychology and he was almost done with it. He told her that the school hired him to teach while he finished on this thesis. Well, suspicions had been building up in Barbara's mind. So, you know, she was blinded, but not too much.
Yeah.
The more and more she felt like he just wasn't being honest. And so she decided she wanted some proof of him teaching. She wanted to attend one of his lectures in person. And John said, yeah, come with me. So the day that John agreed to bring Barbara to school with him, he started complaining that he didn't feel well. When Barbara asked him if that meant that he wasn't going to teach that day, he just said, I'm not sure. She was like, I think you're going to be fine. Well, he wasn't fine. When she tried to walk him down the stairs, which they had like very steep stairs, John whined that he wasn't going to make it. And Barbara was like, just sit on your bottom and slide down. And he just had some sort of excuse, told her she needed to help him. And then they both ended up falling down the stairs. Thankfully, neither of them got hurt, but Barbara was pretty shaken and John decided to cancel class for that day. This is when Barbara's BS radar was really pinging, and she wanted to start validating some of these stories that John had been telling her for all these years.
Yeah, because how long had they been married at this point?
I would say probably around 9 years.
Yeah, okay, so they're not banging like they used to. The less bangs, the more the blinders come off.
I know, right? Yeah. So she found a biography of John's dad, Admiral John Richard Perry. He was a real person, and he even looked like her husband. So that checked out. But then she found a book of all the listed Medal of Honor awards from the Vietnam War, and John's name was not listed in it.
Uh-oh.
She went to the university to see if John's car was in the parking lot, and when she checked the administration office, they said there were no professors with the last name Perry, that taught there. And Barbara wasn't done. She tried to find John's astronaut son and musician daughter, which she couldn't find anything on them. Mind you, there's no internet, so it is harder to find people these days.
Yeah, but I feel like you could still pin down an astronaut. You know, you could just call the Space Center or whatever. He should have said his son is like a truck driver.
Something else.
Like,
anything.
Be like, oh, forget it.
Anything. He's some business guy. Who cares? Yeah. Like an accountant. So she wondered what was behind all these lies. Like, she's like, well, maybe John's a spy. Was he sick? Which a spy would be good. You know, I could see that.
A spy would be good.
I know.
But not likely.
Before she was able to figure out what to do with all this information, John announced that he got a new job with the government. He is going to be working in Egypt. And she could go with him for the first 2 weeks, all on the government's dime. And Barbara was super excited. She'd never been to Egypt before, which Gretchen has, if anybody wants to know. And it was a really great opportunity for her to travel with him. Plus, the job was going to be super lucrative financially. So it was going to pay off all of their bills with his salary alone. And mind you, Barbara worked this whole time. Barbara had to take a business trip for her own job to Indianapolis before they left for Egypt. She went by herself. And when she was at the hotel restaurant for dinner by herself, she saw John walking towards her, which she was totally in shock, right? And John stayed for the whole trip, which was not in the plans. And I could see how he could be like, oh, I just want to, you know, you come with me to my business trips. I'll come with you to your business trip.
I just miss you so much.
I miss you. One morning when Barbara went into the bathroom while John was showering, she noticed a amber-colored bottle that didn't have a label on it and some surgical gloves laying on the counter. When she asked John what the bottle was, he told her that it was ether and that his doctor had told him to put it on his owie.
Isn't it called ether?
Oh, is it called ether?
I think so.
Okay. Ether. Ether? Ether. Probably. Tomato, tomato. Anyways. Okay. And that he had to put it on the back of his neck. Well, Barbara was like, dude, that stuff is lethal. But she just chalked it up to his doctor gave it to him. As the date got closer to when they were due to leave for Egypt, Barbara was getting worried because their diplomatic passports had not arrived. And John was like, okay, you know what? Let's go to DC to see the admiral, to see what the holdup is. Maybe it was politics or something. So they hop on an airplane, go to DC. John drove them to Annapolis, which was the home of the U.S. Naval Academy. The admiral he needed to see wasn't there. Then they drove to the base in Maryland. Again, no admiral. By this point, Barbara had enough of running around, no admirals to be found. So she told John, listen, I'm just going to go back to California. I think she was pretty fed up at this point. The following day, February 15th, 1991, Barbara and John went downstairs from that hotel that they were staying at in DC for breakfast. Barbara stayed behind to pay for breakfast while John went back up to their room ahead of her. When she went back up and walked into their hotel room, she could smell ether again. Barbara told John to come out of the bathroom, and when he did, he got close enough to Barbara, he took an ether-soaked washcloth and put it over her face. Barbara was, at this point, like in a fight for her life, and she knew that if she would scream, that she would get like ether in her like lungs.
Oh, smart.
And pass out. So she didn't. She held her breath. Okay. And she fought like a badass, and she was able to break away from John and make it to the door. But then John got to her before she could get it out to the hallway, or I think she made it out to the hallway, and then he went and grabbed her and pulled her back into the hotel room. Once back inside, John pushed Barbara to the floor and started to pour the ether all over her face.
Ugh.
Barbara was still conscious at this point when John ran out of ether, and he was just standing over her glaring in what she described as wild devil eyes. She looked up at him and told him that they could talk about things if there were problems. And somehow it kind of seemed to like knock him back into reality. John looked at her and said that the only reason he did that was because he had just found out that he had terminal cancer and wanted Barbara to be unconscious so he could go jump off the Key Bridge and kill himself.
Wow.
Side note, the Key Bridge is the Francis Scott Key Bridge that just had that collapse in March of this year when the container ship hit it. Remember that one?
I do. I got a lot of texts about that.
Barbara sat with him actually for a few minutes, rubbing his arm, and he fell asleep. She knew that her life was in imminent danger and this was her moment to escape. I mean, women are so incredible to me because I don't think I would have that kind of patience to know that she needed to like calm him down to save her own life.
Yeah.
So Barbara ran to the front desk and she asked them to call the police. And she just said, my husband just tried to kill me. Police came. They apprehended John as he tried to escape. Barbara's face was covered in bruises from her fight. She was really dazed. You can imagine. Her entire reality had been shattered between her life with John and what happened in that hotel room. Also just thinking back of everything, right? A few days later, Barbara flew back to California alone and she started digging into what exactly happened to cause John to snap. So she picked up the phone and called an admiral that John had worked with previously. The admiral asked her if she knew about the FBI investigation, which of course she said she had not. And they went on to tell her that the FBI had investigated John for impersonating an officer and actually confiscated all those medals. That's why they were missing from the wall.
Snap.
Barbara also found out from the FBI that John had served in the Navy, but only for a moment. He was discharged 40 years ago and never presented any distinguished list of medals that he claimed to be awarded. No one knew exactly where he had actually gotten those medals, which I'm wondering also because it's not like there was eBay at the time or something like that.
He probably went to an estate sale or something.
Yeah, maybe. John Perry wasn't a retired Rear Admiral. He wasn't who he said he was at all. John had a record, went back 40 years with multiple counts of impersonating officers from the Army, Marines, and Navy. He had grand theft, check fraud, passport fraud, flight to avoid being sentenced, among other things. He had lied to Barbara about his wealth. His grandmother, who was leaving him the trust fund, obviously was not the grandmother he said she was. He didn't have any children.
That doesn't sound like a bad thing.
Sounds like a pretty good thing.
Yeah.
One piece of information, though, was true. He really was the son of Admiral John R. Perry.
Oh.
His father served as an enlisted sailor during World War I before attending the U.S. Naval Academy and gaining his commission as the sign in 1923. He went on to serve in World War II and beyond, and Admiral Perry is known for his work as an engineer and commanding naval construction troops known as the Seabees. The real Admiral Perry was awarded two Legion of Merit medals and had a U.S. Navy destroyer escort ship named after him. He even had movies that were based on his work during World War II, played by John Wayne, which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
In June 1991, John was charged with attempted first-degree murder and entered a plea of not guilty. The defense presented their opening statement saying that John tried to save Barbara from the grief of watching him die a slow, painful death from cancer. Except the prosecutors had met with John's doctor, who confirmed he never actually did have cancer, and that was yet another lie he told Barbara. It took 2 days before the jury found him guilty, and he was sentenced to, get this, how many years do you think?
Three.
Five. Mm. After the trial, Barbara got in contact with John's stepmom, and what she told Barbara was the true story about his Navy career. John enlisted in the Navy, and after boot camp, went to a hotel to hang out with friends, and while they were there, he dove into the pool, hit his head, and had to be hospitalized for months. After he was released from the hospital, the Navy did what called a med board where they decided if he was fit to serve, and they said he wasn't. So they gave him a medical discharge from the Navy. His stepmom told Barbara that John was never the same after he hit his head and had that head injury. John was released from prison only 14 months after his 5-year sentence began. And guess what? Barbara had to pay him alimony.
Oh, no.
And give her half of her retirement fund.
Oh, no.
Not just that, she would have to pay for a car and medical insurance for him. Which you are thinking, how could that B, someone could try to murder you and then you are responsible for them financially. And that's because California
don't fuck around. Yeah.
Had a no-fault community property law making her obligated to pay those things for him. Well, Barbara is a badass and she got mad and did something about it. She spent the next 18 months petitioning the government of California to change that law, as it is not fair, right? You cannot try to murder me and then I have to pay your ass?
Yeah.
So in January 1996, the amendment to the bill was finally passed and Barbara had done it. She got the law changed. And she no longer had to pay John anything, but she did have to pay him for a couple of years. John died 9 months after the new law was passed. And Barbara has found love again. She is married to her husband, Rex. And the best part about this whole story is that we're going to talk to Barbara.
Okay. Also, this is like the original Dirty John.
It really is. I was thinking the same exact thing. So I read Barbara's. This is such a cool thing. So I read Barbara's book years ago. And I emailed Barbara and asked her because, you know, we don't usually talk to victims because we don't want to invade. We're invading their space by telling their story, but we don't want to bug them any more than they want to be bugged. But Barbara had a book. And so I thought, you know, if she's willing to talk about it, I'm willing to help her also sell books. So maybe she'll talk to us. At the time, her husband was really sick and she just told me it wasn't a good time. And so I kind of just forgot about it. I didn't really forget about it. It was always in the back of my mind, but I didn't want to bug her. And so she emailed us and said she's would love to talk to us.
Well, I'm excited. So, also, I'm excited too. That her new husband's name is Rex, because that is like one of the top 10 hottest names.
It really is, right? It is. Yeah. Yeah. So Barbara's 79 now.
Get some.
And she seems so lovely and she wants to, we're going to have a chat. And then you guys are going to be able to get to hear from Barbara herself. So that's going to be fascinating. And that's coming out in the next week. And that's it. But I mean, these stories that we tell when there is a survivor like this are just, to me, it's a miracle one, right? But it gives you hope. Like if you ever are in a situation, like just think about the ways that you need to get out. And Barbara did. Like,
yeah,
they would have like tried to run and then he would have probably tried to kill her like the second time, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. Like the original Dirty John.
I know.
Or I mean, he's the, you know what I mean? The second, the Dirty John.
And his name's John too.
That's why I said that.
Well, I know, but it's like the same situation too.
I know.
For 10 years, she's married to this guy, lying to her.
Yeah.
So I have some questions. I have lots of questions.
You know what? Actually, if you're curious, Dirty John, we actually interviewed his first wife on this podcast and he was married to her for like 10 years too. Do a little homework and go back and listen to that interview.
Was that on Patreon?
I don't remember.
You guys, I almost did a story that I already did too today. Gretchen's like, are you going to do that story again? You guys, Ginkgo biloba. I mean, doing the on it brain memory focus. Maybe that's why I realized that I already did that case. I honestly was going to do the case twice.
It always has a positive spin.
Right. Anyways, another positive note is if you guys give us a positive review on Apple or Spotify or wherever you listen, we would truly appreciate it. And so would Apple and Spotify. Also, if you want to support us more, you can go to patreon.com/housewivesoftruecrime or go on the Clink Clink Club here on Apple. Or if you listen on Spotify, there is a Housewives of True Crime bonus. And we do another episode on Thursdays. And Gretchy has a bonus crime this
really
Thursday.
Excited about this one. Yeah.
Yes. And it's very fitting with the gymnastics Olympics.
It is.
Also, we didn't talk about this. Did you watch the breakdancer in the Olympics?
I did not watch the breakdancer.
Oh my God, you guys, are we like... Okay, we'll talk about that on Patreon. Also, why don't you just go take a look at the Australian Chickadee Sally breakdancer.
Okay, and can I just say this about the bonus crime? I am going to do like some history of the gymnastics, but I'm going to touch very briefly on the Larry Nassar stuff, but it's not the Larry Nassar stuff, so don't think that it's going to be, you know, like it's much more interesting.
Okay. Great. Thank you for that clarification. So get on that, you guys, if you are not a follower on our bonus Thursday episodes. Yes, and we have a private Facebook group. It's called Housewives of True Crime Group. If you want to join that, there's a lot of very fun people on there. We interact too.
We need to post on it more. We're going to do that. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do it today.
Why don't you?
I'm going to do it today. I'm going to do it today.
Right. Follow us everywhere you can, Instagram, whatever. Also, we have a skincare line. It's called Vibe Crimes, FIVE crimes.com. You can get 25% off with our code CLINK. And I suggest you try it all, but the illegal glow is what everybody loves the most. It smells delicious. It's all natural. It's perfect for your skin. It keeps in the moisturizer. Moisture has hyaluronic acid. It makes you look beautiful. Just putting that on. So that's my first product I would suggest. My second product would be Smooth Criminal. Oh, maybe the hair. Maybe the hair serum. I don't know. They're all good. So I promise you, you guys will like it. And I think that's all for today, Gretchy Poo.
Yep.
All right. Clink, clink.
Clink, clink.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close.
Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.